Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good.
I see we're speaking about science today.
You like that subject?
Yes, I like science.
Yeah, because you're a scientist.
So they say.
There's some interesting things that we're going to discuss. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together again. We ask again, please help us with the Holy Spirit, enlighten our minds, and bless this discussion in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I see we're a little bit closer. I can almost kick
you.
Yeah. Yeah, we've called this one Science Falsely So-Called. Now, is there anything wrong with science?
No.
But there's something wrong with science falsely so-called, right?
Yes.
Now, I've always been interested in science. I love science. And I drove my poor mother nuts because my entire room was full of insects and bugs and critters. And I built all kinds of things to see what the animals do. I built tunnelways and things out of plaster of Paris and caught queens of ants and put them in there and watched the process. And I built telescopes when I was a kid. And I used to go to the library. In those days, you went to the library if you wanted books. That's sort of history, right?
Yeah, I didn't go to Google.
And I used to go and get all the science books down there. And I still remember them. They were horizon books of science. And that's what I used to read when I was a kid. And people would think I'm a little bit crazy. And I built contraptions and got into trouble and built bombs. So science was always my thing. And I loved biology and physiology in particular. And that was my life. And let's put it quite categorically, there's nothing wrong with science. But there's something terribly wrong with the philosophy of science. And this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about a type of science. So if you want to go to the Bible verses, and you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. It's sort of a fatherly appeal, right?
Yeah.
Don't get hung up and lost in these vain babblings. And if you look it up in the concordances, then the word for science there is gnosis, knowing, knowledge by implication, knowledge, science. And of course, it pertains largely to the science of salvation. And the Gnostics, of course, had the idea that Christ was not divine in any other sense than we are also divine. And if you look up in Thayer's concordance, then it gives us a little bit more information. Knowledge signifies in general intelligence and understanding, the general knowledge of the Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians, moral wisdom such as is seen in right living. But it also means, as we see here in Strong's, knowledge or science. Basically, the science of salvation and how it all fits together. But God is also the author of general science.
Yeah.
And the laws of thermodynamics and all of these things are laws that are built into the creation. And some science violates these laws. If you take the laws of thermodynamics, and you take the law on entropy, everything tends towards disorder, then evolution is the reversal of that law of thermodynamics, because then you have order out of chaos. That's an occult principle.
Yes.
Whereas in God's word, there was also chaos, but through the word, it became
organized.
Organized. Exactly. So there is science and there is science. Mm. And when I think back of my own life, the science itself was fascinating. How everything works, yeah. How the physiology works, how chemicals talk to each other. I loved organic chemistry. I took it as a major in my university career. And I loved biochemistry and biology and physiology and how everything functions and how beautiful it all fits together. And when I discovered God, then it suddenly blossomed.
Yeah. I was always wondering how scientists, if they believe in God, then you can just, like you just mentioned, it elevates the science and God even more.
Absolutely.
When you start thinking.
It is an elevating experience that you cannot describe. Mm. But you have to turn your thinking around 180 degrees.
Mm. Because what you've been taught.
Yes. Not in terms of the science, but in terms of the philosophy behind the science. And once the philosophy of science becomes integrated with the science itself, then you also can have reversals. And if you take the creation account, how geology sees the phenomena in the world, the stratigraphic layers in the rocks, how they interpret them, and how you would interpret them under a model where you use catastrophism and the flood.
Yes.
They are diametrically opposed to each other. And once you go to the root of it, then you will find that the interpretation that the world uses is not even logical.
Yeah.
It cannot be logical, because how can you have flat layers saying that they once represented the surface of the earth, and there's no evidence of erosion between the layers? That doesn't make any sense.
And then it's also the time periods between those layers are millions of years. So
when there's no basis for it other than an extraneous philosophy that is attached to something, because you cannot date these layers. And then you have the circular reason in science, that the dates are determined by the fossils and the fossils are determined by the layers. That's circular reasoning. So once your thinking has been turned around, then you start seeing things in a different light. And you get an understanding which is on a direct collision course with the way the world thinks. And this is the problem.
Exactly.
And this is where God, in His Word, gives us very clear directives, and the world does the exact opposite.
It's actually sad, because if anything that is, let's say, scientific in the Bible is totally negated through science today.
Correct.
They say, if you say something because the Bible says so, they think you're an idiot.
Now, you can take any science. You have more than just hard science. You have many sciences. Science of archaeology, for example. There is a science in archaeology that is in total harmony with the Bible, but secular archaeology is in direct opposition to the Bible. So let's think about that. You have Darwinism, which totally negates Genesis, right?
Yes.
And you have a science that is just as much a science, which other people would call a conspiracy, which totally supports the Bible.
Yes.
So you have creation science, and you have science. Now, the scientists will say, now, excuse me, creation science in itself is a misnomer.
Mm.
Because you can't have creation and science. It's either one or the other. And like the scientists say themselves, you cannot allow a divine foot in the door. But what if creation is truth? Then you would have to rephrase that and say, you may not allow truth to interfere with your science.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's no longer science. Then it's science falsely so-called.
Yes.
Because if truth is truth, then you have to allow for truth to come into
exactly.
the equation.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
So let's have a look at the broad spectrum of the world and ask ourselves a few questions. When it comes to creation, is there a true science and a false science?
Yep. Yes, there is.
Have the rocks changed?
Nope.
Have the fossils within the rocks changed?
Nope.
Has the oil under the ground changed?
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. None of it, right? Has the anatomy of the animals changed?
Nope.
No. So you're still looking at the exact same data, mm-hmm. that science. But the way in which you interpret them mm-hmm. is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And the one is true science, and the other one is science falsely so-called.
Yeah.
All right. Let's now talk about just the creation mm-hmm. issue. We spoke about archaeology. Is there an interpretation that confirms the Bible?
Yes.
And is there an interpretation that negates the Bible?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's take health.
Mm-hmm.
Health is supposed to be thoroughly grounded in science.
Yes.
I mean, we have a vast medical field out there that seems to be in the business of science, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what you have to listen to.
Exactly.
Now, I taught at the university. I know what that science is because I was involved in teaching it. And even in those that I didn't teach, I was involved there because you have to know mm-hmm. enough so that if someone gets sick, that you take over those classes, right?
Yes.
So you are a jack of all trades and a specialist of one, mm-hmm. or maybe two, if you're lucky. So I know what is taught at the university level. Now let's take the issue of nutrition.
Mm.
The medical world out there in the secular universities is the so-called expert when it comes to nutrition. How much nutrition do they get in their course?
Mm, probably.
Virtually none, maybe a week or two.
Mm.
And then once you've studied it through, it's basically all wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why it is so volatile. And once they say this and then they say that. Now there are scientists that do research on these issues and there are thousands and thousands of publications mm-hmm. of true science that is done. But does that true science necessarily filter through to the classroom?
No.
No.
It's like when you've got, it will also not filter through to the public.
Definitely not. Hmm. So when I started discovering the issues on health, for example, that the world is totally led up the garden path, that the original diet, according to the Bible, was a plant-based diet, and the world has a different diet, it's interesting to me that the world is now talking about a plant-based diet. So it seems like, you know, everything is going full circle. But even then, it will be distorted.
Exactly.
Because the reasons as to why you have to change from one to the other are not valid, right?
No.
So when I started lecturing on the health issue, I got great opposition. And eventually, it took a few years, and I no longer had to defend myself.
Mm-hmm. Because they caught up.
They caught up, yes. And the world was saying more than what I was saying in the beginning. So it's interesting that a lot of that opposition came from people who were supposed to be grounded in this particular subject and in the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
So if you take the health issue, you can be so manipulated by the world that you begin to see things in the same light as the world sees them. And then even those that are supposedly grounded in the Word of God will run with the mainstream. And we can see it in the world today, no matter what the science is we're talking about. So we won't go into too many details there because we still want to be able to talk about these things, right? So there is a true science and there is a false science. There is a science of a philosophy of science which is true, and there is a philosophy of science which is false. So let us talk about the eco science that is so prevalent in the world today. And we have our doomsday prophets in the eco world that are telling us now is the time to have a total reset or else, right? So here is an article from 2019, comes from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and it says, wrong again. 50 years of failed eco-apocalyptic predictions. It's a very interesting word. That is combining the apocalypse, which is a biblical term, with the ecology.
Yes.
That seems to be a very prevalent thing in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's leading somewhere.
Yes.
And this is our job, right?
That's it, to link it to where we're heading.
Exactly. This is what our job is, because you have to be watchmen on the walls of Zion, and you have to give the trumpet a certain sound so that people will know what is coming, because it never comes through the front door.
No.
It always sneaks in via the back door.
Everything that's in front of you, just know that there's something behind the scenes also going on.
Now, what's very strange to me, Martin, is that so many people, even within the church, have their eyes fixed on the front door.
Yes.
While the guy with a knife has come in by the back door, right? So we have to be very careful. We have to have eyes all around.
I heard a comparison, a popular one. A magician. He keeps you busy with the one hand while the other one is doing
something else.
Something else. And yes. That's where the
deception comes in. You actually shouldn't look at the hand that is prominent. You should look at the other one, right? Now, when you look at the cherubs that are described, that are associated with God's throne, they have eyes all around. So that's a symbolic picture of what we should be doing. We should be looking at every angle, right? And not jump onto a bandwagon just because it is called science. Beware of science, falsely so called. Could that also mean science misapplied and misused for a personal agenda?
Yes. Definitely.
Does that necessarily negate the science, or does that negate the agenda?
The agenda.
Okay. So modern doomsayers have been predicting climate and environmental disasters since the 1960s, and they continue to do so today. One of the experts on these predictions is, of course, the papacy. None of the apocalyptic predictions with due dates as of today have come true.
Now not,
not one. Now, we spoke about false prophets last time. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about science falsely so-called?
Yes.
Isn't that the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay. Especially if they're going to link the science to the apocalyptic, right? Mm-hmm. So what follows is a collection of notably wild predictions from notable people in government and science. More than merely spotlighting the failed predictions, this collection shows that the makers of failed apocalyptic predictions often are individuals holding respected positions in government and science. So a scientist said it.
Yes.
You better believe it.
You better.
No matter at what level we are speaking.
Which brings me to another one. The science is settled, they usually say.
It's settled.
Can that happen?
Is the science of evolution settled? They can settle it as much as it likes. It still looks like mud. So there are all of these failed predictions. While such predictions have been and continue to be enthusiastically reported by a media eager for sensational headlines, the failures are typically not revisited. This is an axiom. This is truth.
That typically not revisited is what you were mentioning earlier.
Exactly. If it's wrong,
there is some of it that's truth, but that never filters through to the student or the public. The same. If it's been shown that that wasn't true, you never see that in the headlines.
Okay. So may I be so naughty as to ask whether these scientists, with all of their predictions, are any better than QAnon?
No, you're making them a conspiracy.
Exactly. Well, let's just go to the Bible. I like to go to the Bible. There's this verse in Genesis 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." I mean, everybody knows that verse, right?
Yes.
It's the first verse in the Bible. And it just is so interesting that God would put it so succinctly, so simply, so straightforward. This is the way it is. Take it or leave it. And humanity says, let's leave it. But God says, you can leave it, but you're going to end up where you're ending up now, exactly. Believing a lot of nonsense.
Yeah. And having to work out hours and hours and hours of study.
And millions of dollars.
To try and negate just that first sentence.
Okay, let me just ask a question. How much money is spent on furthering the theory on of evolution?
Oh,
every single university.
Yeah. What about CERN?
Yes.
That whole Hadron Collider that's built, the millions of euros that goes into that thing.
Exactly. But that's still science, trying to find out, you know,
what does everything
consist of. But on furthering a philosophy of science, how many salaries are paid? How many university institutions have been created? How many sub-institutions furthering basically the lie of evolution? Billions and billions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not only throwing around with billions of years, they're throwing around with billions of dollars. Wasted money.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, God created. End of story.
And I must say, if they took that sentence as true, I think we would have seen so much more breakthroughs in science.
They think religion is restrictive. You know what, Martin? When I was a scientist, I was restricted.
Yeah.
I had an interest which was focused on science. And now that that bubble has been burst, my interest includes so many more things. And I can be involved in discussions of so many more things than before that it becomes irritating to some people.
Mm-hmm.
So religion is expanding, not restricting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're always talking about change and what's going to happen and fear-mongering and there will be no food, there will be no this, there will be no that, and everything will become a desert. Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That's a promise. If you take God at his word, is there reason for panic in that verse?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
It's going to continue until the end, right?
Yes.
So the only thing that's going to change is the hype.
Yes. He created and he's in control.
Done deal. it's very liberating,
yeah,
isn't it? Matthew 24, verse 37 and 38, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So will things continue until the end, yes or no?
Yes.
So what is all this screaming about?
It might be in a little bit different way than you used to, a little bit more restricted, maybe a mask on your face or so, but it will continue.
It will continue.
Till the great day.
Yes. So let's have a look at some of these interesting things that have been predicted. And we don't have to go into great detail and read every verse over here, but here's an article from 1970, where they said ice age by the year 2000. So there's going to be global freezing. Mm. It's amazing that it now became global warming, right?
Yeah.
So we went from global freezing to global warming.
That's why I think they changed it to climate change.
Yeah. So Thursday, April 16, 1970, scientists predict a new ice age by the 21st century. Air pollution may obliterate the sun and cause a new ice age in the first third of the next century. The demands for cooling water will boil dry the entire flow of rivers and streams of continental United States. Everything's going to be bone dry and a frozen desert. Did it come true?
No.
But this is scientists. This is science. And we have to listen to the science, don't we?
Yeah.
And here's another one from 1980. Acid rain kills life in lakes. Now, there's no doubt that acid rain was a problem and that the pH went down. I myself gave lectures on ecology when I was at the university. And yes, this is a fact. But is it a universal phenomenon or is it a local phenomenon? And if we just go a few years later, 10 years later, the U.S. government program formed to study acid rain concluded. Acid rain, no environmental crisis, study concludes. So here's a long article. We're not going to go through it. It's just they say something. No, they were religious prophets.
What would we say?
What would the Bible criteria say?
Unfortunately, you don't qualify.
They're false prophets, mm-hmm. right? So can science be used as a false prophet?
Yes.
And let's ask a little more naughty question. Can the real false prophet use false science in order to further his agenda?
Yes. That's the main point. That's what it's going to, where it's heading.
And when we look at all these things that happen, so here comes the science bandwagon past you. You're going to jump on every bandwagon that passes you by?
No, you're not supposed to.
What if they tell you that they're going to modify your immune system to such an extent that your own immune system becomes obsolete? You don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They could get a surprise, right?
Correct.
Just a commercial. Let's not go any further than that. In 1978, they said, no end in sight to the 30-year cooling trend. We're going to freeze to death. Now, isn't it interesting that in the midst of global warming, they've had one of the coldest winters on record in the north, mm-hmm. right? So which one was right, the global warming or the global cooling?
Well,
take your pick, right?
You can pick
your toss a coin. Now, what if next year is going to be a little bit warmer? What are the scientists going to say then?
It's reversed. Now we're going.
Oh, now we're back to global warming, right? You have to follow the science, my friend. Yes. So international team of specialists finds no end in sight to the 30-year cooling trend in the Northern Hemisphere. That was in 1978. What came of it?
Let's have a look.
Here is data from NASA. According to NASA, satellite data, there is a slight warming trend since 1979. So here is their graph, and they're showing the best trend statistically.
Yeah,
there's the baseline. And as you can see, it dips above and below the baseline, and it's been increasing. Now, this one only goes to 2019. So, you know, 1 year later, 2020, it could be very different, right? All right. So instead of a cooling trend, we had a warming trend. Now, some scientists will say this warming trend is fascinating, especially if you take a spike. Mm. And then the very next year, there is a drop, right? Mm. But if you concentrate all your effort on the spike, then you could become an alarmist, right?
Yes.
So don't look at the spikes. Look at the trend.
Yes. Be careful. Because sometimes you can get a 10-year trend, and looking over 50 years, it's a different story.
Yes, and you have many trends which run in cycles. Drought, for example, wet seasons, dry seasons. You have to look at the whole picture.
And then we must also probably just make it clear, we're not saying there's no manipulation going on. Because the spirit of prophecy also says that Satan is studying the laboratories of nature.
And man is quite capable of changing things and seeding clouds, etc., etc. So
we've shown that also in previous.
So there can be very specific interventions which can be interpreted by some in one way and by others in another. Here's another 1988 prediction. James Hansen forecasts increased regional drought in the 1990s. The Miami News, more drought likely, expert tells senators. We're going to get drought. So what really happened? But the last really dry year in the Midwest was in 1988, and recent years have been record wet. So we're in a wet trend. So the scientist says we're going to be in a dry trend. Now we're in a wet trend. Now, he was probably using what was available. And he was looking at the peaks, and he was making a prediction, and his prediction happened to be dead wrong, right?
Yeah.
Do we have, as we discussed last time, religious prophets that make predictions that turn out to be dead wrong?
Yes.
Okay. So is there a science that can be falsely so-called?
Yes.
So here's Hansen's forecast date. You see what happened there? He was relying on a peak into the dry below the norm. But then subsequently things turned round. Our climatologists that have been speaking about global warming have stopped speaking about global warming.
Yes.
They're now speaking about climate change. Well, let me be very predictive. I predict today, as a scientist, that the winter is going to be colder than the summer.
I think I believe you.
Do you think you believe
me? But we'll have to tell everybody.
But what if I predicted that the winter is going to be warmer this year than the summer was?
Then you've got a problem.
So I could take a peek like that and make a prediction. If you had used this one, I don't know where we'd be then, right? We'd be in big trouble. Then James Hansen's forecast increased regional drought in 1990. Prepare for long, hot summers. If you like last summer's record temperatures, you're going to love the 1990s, says James Hansen's, the NASA scientist. What scientist?
NASA.
Isn't that the flagship up there? Yes. Absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. Now,
all the models.
Just for interest's sake, when you are taught evolution, many, many, many lectures on the subject at university, does that make it true?
No.
No. When you are taught certain health principles, and that you have to have animal protein in your diet, and protein was the driving force, and animal protein was the better protein because it was a complete protein. Was that necessarily correct, or did it eventually prove to be incorrect?
Well, it proved to be incorrect.
Okay. But, so many, many lectures and many man hours could have gone into trying to substantiate something which was at the root false.
Yes.
Right? How do we know that everything we hear about cosmology is right? We will know one day, right?
Correct.
Do we know where comets come from?
No.
They come out of the Oort cloud.
Mm.
Has anybody ever seen the Oort cloud?
No.
No. Nobody's ever seen it.
No, so there's just some things that we'll have to wait and see.
It's thumnology.
Yeah.
Comets are there. Therefore, there must be an origin of comets. Mm. And the man who decided that there was an origin happened to have the name Oort. And so it became Oort's cloud. But nobody's ever seen it.
Yeah.
Which means it might exist or it might not exist, yeah. Right?
It sounds similar to the cloud that you store everything on.
It's like that little kid after the scientist had explained, you know, all the issues of evolution and everything and said everybody must believe it because according to him you can see it. The little kid asked him, do you have a brain? I haven't seen it, so how must I know you have one, right? So
yeah.
It didn't materialize. Because the very next thing was that things turned round. So, but the number of hot days in the DC area peaked in 1911 and have been declining ever since. So again, there seems to be a cooling and not a warming, right? And there was Hansen's forecast date. And again, you can see based on a hot day. And we see this over and over and over. Here's another one, 1988, Maldives completely underwater in 30 years. Threat to the islands. Because the ocean is going to rise, because all this ice is going to flow from Greenland and from Antarctica, etc., right? And then in 1989, rising seas to obliterate nations by the year 2000. Now, this comes from the United Nations. Rising seas could obliterate nations, UN officials. So again, we have the same kind of prediction. This is science. This is based on science. And it is a senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. Where are we now? 1989. New York City West Side Highway underwater by 2019. Is it underwater?
Maybe if it rains a little bit.
Now, this is a very interesting one. This is the global mid-tropospheric temperature variations model versus observations. So this red line is the model. We've discussed this in a previous WhatsApp, so we're not going to go back there. People can go and watch the one on climate. And what happened over there. But just for the sake of completeness, this is the model that the world uses.
Mm.
And all of these trends that you see over here are based on models.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they are gnosis. They are philosophy of science. But they're not based on reality.
Yes.
Here are the actual observations. Okay? And there seems to be a trend in the upward direction. But if you take this one over here, which was from 2015,
yeah.
If you go back in history to about 1988, round about there, you'll see that that peak was higher.
Hmm.
So we have these oscillations. These are the actual measurements.
Yeah.
And this is a predictive trend but it doesn't even come close to the models. And you remember Al Gore with his contraption there with the lift on it that he had to go up into the air to show where the graph was going to go, right through the roof.
Yeah.
Well, nothing came of it, right? So they've been doing this for a long time. And they're no better than the prophets that we spoke about in our last series.
Correct.
So let's go to Al Gore. I actually had a lecture about him and Prince Charles and the environmental issues, which was called the Beamable Sustainable Princes. Mm. Because in actual fact, Al Gore, as is Prince Charles, are actually from royal bloodlines.
Okay.
So they're princes. Mm. And because they had themselves beamed in a hologram to their lecture site, yeah, apparently, I called them the Beamable Princes. And that lecture dealt with religious aspects as well as scientific aspects. Perhaps you can put a link there.
Definitely. He's still very active, yeah, today with the climate change
now,
agenda.
If we had to discuss him in the same level as we discussed the prophetic bodies and people in the religious sphere, I think we could put him into the same category, right?
Yep.
So 10 years ago, Al Gore predicted the North Polar ice cap would be gone. Inconveniently, it's still there. That's, of course, a play on words, because he had this lecture, The Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah, you even had a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. All right, so that was in 2008 when he predicted these things. And here's another one. Arctic sea ice extent, area of ocean with at least 15% sea ice. And you can see that it has increased. Mm-hmm. Now, Martin, they love showing the breakdown of the glacier and the ice falling into the sea. They love that. And it is their exhibit number one when it comes to global warming and the effect of climate change on Arctic ice, right?
Yeah.
Now, I remember a movie, I don't know how long it was. It was with, what was it, Flint?
Our Man Flint. I think it was around 67 or 60.
Yeah, right, in the 60s. Yeah.
It was a American style of James Bond.
Yes, yeah. It was a James Bond type movie of the 60s, and Our Man Flint. And in that movie, they have one scene there with this ice coming crashing down. This has been going on for millennia, let alone here in these last few years. And people are overawed. My, this is really happening. Everything is collapsing. And of course, every generation will think this is the case, right? Mm-hmm. But do they ever look back in history?
Do they ever see this graph?
Exactly. So while it crashes down on the one side, when the melt time comes, in the freeze time, it grows again on the other side. So here you have the same type of thing. And then Prince Charles. Prince Charles. Now, he's about the same age as I am, and he's made so many predictions on climate, and he's, of course, the defender of faith. Mm. He used to be the defender of the faith, but that's gone by the wayside. So in 2009, Prince Charles says there are only 8 years to save the planet. So I think we're not here anymore.
No.
I think it's all over, right? But we're still here, right? So just 96 months to save the world, says Prince Charles. Now, how many of those predictions have we had?
Yeah.
One after the other, right?
Continuous.
And it varies. The one gives so much, the other. And these are all highly placed people, right?
And it's based on science.
It's based on science. You have to listen to the science. And this one's interesting. In 2014, the French foreign minister said 500 days to avoid climate chaos. Now, I think I actually used this one in one of my lectures a few years ago.
I think so.
This was the Secretary of State, John Kerry, welcomed French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius to the State Department in Washington on Tuesday to discuss a range of issues from Iran to Syria to climate change. Now, John Kerry, as we have shown, says that his number one priority is climate change. Mm-hmm. Now, 500 days since 2014, and we still haven't had the climate chaos. Do you know what? This year, where we are living right now, it's been one of the best years in terms of climate, right?
Yeah.
We had beautiful temperatures. It wasn't nearly as hot as in the previous years. I could predict the global cooling, depending on this year. And we had a wonderful rainy season.
Yes.
So I predict a global wetting. This is how you can
This is how it's going at this stage.
All right. So, planet still standing 500 days after French foreign minister warned of climate chaos. They're a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but this is true.
This is the truth.
This is the way it is. But the sad point is, they're still going to use it in order to further an agenda.
Exactly.
All right. So to our listeners, we're not here just pulling apart the climate issue.
No.
The question is not what is happening to the climate. The question is, what is it useful? Why is it useful to these people to keep on pushing this button? There must be an agenda.
Exactly. And you, if you think we've showed now from the 60s, the prediction still 2015.
Yes.
How many generations is that? It's about three generations of young people that have gone through this whole time. So you've the scientists have there's no person alive today that has not
been indoctrinated
with climate change
exactly.
science.
Just like they've been indoctrinated with evolution, they never stop.
No.
They sing the same tune no matter what science you throw at them.
And all of those, ignored. All of those, I think also in your lectures, Genesis Conflict, you show one after the other the discovery that they've said proves evolution. A few years or months later, it was shown to not be true, but that never gets through to the public, the same as this.
Correct. So there must be a philosophy behind all of this. So what are some of these forecasts? In 1967, they said there would be dire famine by 1975. Did it happen?
No.
Regionally, perhaps, yeah. Yes. Like it has been happening since the time of Abraham.
Joseph.
Since the time of Joseph, right? 1969, everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989. These are actual ones. Here are the sources on the right-hand side. 1974, they said a new ice age is coming. 2004, Britain to have a Siberian climate by 2020. You know what? They're still just walking around with umbrellas. 2008, Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. Did it happen?
No.
No. 2009, UK Prime Minister says 50 days to save the planet from catastrophe. That's a really good one. 50 days? That's incredible. 2009, Arctic ice-free by 2014. 2013, Arctic ice-free by 2015. You know what? They bought the fiddle and they're going to play it.
It's not going to change. This tune is going to stay.
So are these true prophets or are they false prophets?
All qualify for false prophets.
They're false prophets. Mm-hmm. But they don't change their tune.
No. So there must be an agenda.
There must be an agenda. Now, true prophets, they also don't change their tune.
No.
But then it happens. Right?
Yeah.
So, what do they say today? That's the next question. let's listen to the scientists. Well, this one is a very young scientist, but prominent enough to be able to speak to Congress.
To Congress.
And to the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And to royalty.
The Dalai Lama.
And to the Pope himself.
Yes.
Amazing.
I am submitting this report as my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists. And I want you to unite behind the science. And then I want you to take real action. Thank you.
I have a question.
Which one of the scientists do you want to listen to?
Do you think she saw what we just showed?
I don't think she ever saw that. No. She only had a very one-sided view of what was happening. But Martin, this is the state of the world.
Exactly.
So again, what is the agenda? Mm-hmm. Why is it that no matter what you throw at an evolutionary scientist, they do not change the game plan? No matter what evidence you bring in terms of health, mm-hmm. they do not change the game plan. No matter what evidence you bring in terms of climate, they do not change the game plan. Mm-hmm. Who's behind it? Who's behind the theory of evolution?
Well, if you go to the top.
To the very source.
The devil.
The devil. Let's not ask that same question for the others. Mm. So, if this task was urgent before, this is Time magazine in 2021, if this task was urgent before, it's crucial now. The UN says the world has 10 months to get serious on climate goals. This is tedious.
Before you read, I just want to maybe remind the viewers that since 1965 or whatever when we showed now, has there been laws implemented because of climate change?
Absolutely. Based on what?
Based on all this false narratives.
Yes.
And where are we going? They're still saying it. Are we going to see laws still implemented?
All right. So they said 500 days. The Prime Minister said 50 days. Some said 10 months. And now we're in 2021 and they're saying 10 months. And people believe it. They believe it.
The world believes this.
Yes.
One thing that's really escalated through this time is how everybody has started to believe this.
If you repeat something over and over again, eventually people come to believe it. Now, John Kerry and Joe Biden have made it quite clear that this is point number one on their agenda.
And you mentioned somebody else who is it also his top priority.
The Pope.
The Pope.
Okay, so the Pope has the agenda and the powerful governments of the world have the agenda and the predictions are exactly the same as they were decades ago. Mm. Nothing has changed. So the world has precisely 10 months to get our act together if there is to be any hope of staving off a climate catastrophe by the end of the century. So now we have to get moving. They've sung the tune and everybody knows the melody. Now this is a bit tongue-in-cheek. It says that nature sets the example. Never trust a greenie. Have a green frog and this little mouse. Eventually it will swallow you up. Well, basically, this is joking, but there is an element of truth in it, right? Now, Martin, is it only the scientists or is the religious world involved in this?
Oh, it is crazy what's happening.
Now, what did that first verse talk about? Timothy, I would like to say, Martin, be careful. Be very careful of science, falsely so called. And he was talking in a religious connotation, right?
Yes.
Now, when you combine this science with religion, then you are striking not just at the physical level, but at the moral level.
Yes.
So here you have the Parliament of World Religions, and it speaks about green faith. What's the story with that frog?
Yeah, be careful.
Be careful if it's green, right? Day of Action, March 11, 2021. That's come and gone. Sacred People, Sacred Earth is organized by Green Faith, and the Parliament of the World's Religions is proud to join communities and organizations around the world in serving as a co-sponsor. So now you've joined science and religion.
Yep.
And the Parliament of World Religion represents all the religions of the world. And it speaks about sacred people, sacred earth. This is earth worship, number one. This is Gaia worship. And sacred people. This sounds like Korah.
Self-worship.
Everybody is holy. Everybody is holy. Yeah. What happened to Korah, by the way? He had a problem.
In a hole.
Right? He had a problem. Okay. Now, what does Green Faith have to say? That is associated with
the Parliament of World Religions.
Our mission. Because the earth and all people are sacred and at risk, Green Faith is building a worldwide multi-faith climate and environmental movement. Our vision. We envision a world transformed in which humanity, in all its diversity, has developed a shared reverence for life on earth. Religious and spiritual communities everywhere generate a moral awakening to the sacredness of earth and the dignity of all people.
A moral.
Are we heading somewhere?
Oh, definitely.
Theory of change. Around the globe, we are organizing people of faith spiritually, but not religious people, and religious leaders to join the Green Faith community and to develop local circles. That's a very occult principle,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, circles.
Yes.
There's also in Christianity the spiritual formation.
It's Ouroboros, the serpent with his tail in the mouth.
Yeah.
We won't stop until equitable, self-sustainable policies, actions, and practices are embodied at every level. All right, let's just get back to basics. Have you any concept of what the primary function of religion is, for example, Christianity?
The primary function is to get, well, Jesus said, make disciples and tell the whole world about the good news.
And what is the good news?
The gospel.
The gospel of salvation. That's the primary function. Do you see that primary function anywhere over here?
Mm-mm.
All right. The Bible has a lot to say that about environment as well, that God will deal with people that hurt the earth, etc., and that disregard life on earth and take it for granted. Yes, there are issues at that, but the primary function is to preach the gospel. And this is totally out of the equation. And then they have 10 demands.
Hmm.
Does that sound like 10 commandments?
Yep.
It's interesting that they have 10 demands. I'm very allergic to the word demand. I always tell the story about when the students burst into my office one day and they shouted at me, "We demand." That was a very mundane issue. Something as simple as there weren't enough facilities in the washrooms. Toilet paper was one of the problems. It seems like toilet paper is much in the news these days, right? On an environmental scale now. But that was the issue. And, you know, when the roll is finished, there's nothing else. Why can't there be some more over there? So they burst in and they said, "We demand." I let them steam a little while and asked them, "What happened to the good old-fashioned request?"
Yeah.
And we discussed it, and I said, you know, that's very reasonable. I'm sure we can arrange something like that. And it was arranged. But here you have 10 demands. 100% renewable clean energy for all. Interesting. So that puts an end to any form of fossil fuel usage or whatever. Finance. Global finance aligned with compassionate values.
Yes, that one sounds like the religious
agenda.
Agenda, and the previous one, the political agenda.
Correct. Employment, jobs and health care for all. Now, if you take our country, what is the unemployment rate?
40%, I think.
Yeah, and if you take the youth into account, it's probably in the region of 50%, right? So how are you going to employ them? What if you reduced the hours of work and doubled up the teams? Could you solve that? You probably could, right? Self-determination, respect indigenous rights, welcome for migrants, no more climate pollution, end the planet's desecration, eliminate immoral investment. They will have to start with themselves, right? Climate reparations from wealthy countries. That's an interesting one, Martin. Climate reparations for wealthy countries. Now, the wealthiest countries on the world seem to me to have the greatest debt in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are they therefore wealthy, or are they bankrupt?
They're bankrupt.
So how do bankrupt nations repair everything? Bold faith community leadership. So those are the 10 demands, the new 10 commandments. Is there anything there about salvation?
No. And just another point, you might now, somebody might now say, but, you know, who are these guys, the Green Faith? But I hope that they've realized those 10 demands, you hear it now in the political and religious sphere.
Exactly. And the spokespersons for them are of the highest level in the United Nations and in the religious world. Now let's go to one of those spokespersons. Pope calls for a new world order. Now this is March 15, 2021. He's been calling for this new world order for a long time. Mm. And the politicians have been calling for this new world order. And the United Nations has been calling for this new world order. And the Parliament of World Religions has been calling for this new world order. So the Pope calls for a new world order, let's say there, once again, and says that wasting the COVID crisis would be worse than the pandemic. In other words, wasting a good opportunity.
A good crisis.
Good crisis. In language apparently drawn from the globalist playbook, the Pope called for a new world order, built upon his concept of solidarity, which in turn is drawn from his comments and publication on irreligious fraternity. Francis also copied the phraseology of globalist leaders by mentioning how the COVID crisis should not be wasted. Let us all keep in mind that there is something worse than the crisis, the drama of wasting it. We cannot emerge from a crisis the same as before. We either come out better or we come out worse. He called the COVID pandemic an alarm signal on which humanity is forced to reflect, referring to the cornerstones of reconstruction, which would be a key part of his new world order. The time of trial can thus become a time of wise and far-sighted choices for the good of humanity, of all humanity, he added. Now, Martin, who defines this good? He does, right?
He does.
And then he calls it common.
Yes.
It's actually his good, but he calls it common. Who says that his good is my good?
He says so.
He says so. And because he's the Pope, it better be my good, right?
Yeah. It's for the common, but if it's not according to his,
then there's a problem. In fact, the Pope even linked the theological aspect of salvation to the promotion of a new world order in line with globalist policies, suggesting that salvation was dependent upon their success. That is a form of universalism, correct?
Correct.
And you better be on that bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Should his words be ignored, the Pope warned there would be no future for anyone, and thus the world must prepare for tomorrow under the banner of human fraternity, since there is no alternative. Who defines that?
Once again, him.
Are there riots in the world mm-hmm. because of the changes that have taken place?
Yes.
So there are many, many people in the world, millions,
yeah.
who are unhappy.
Happy. Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no alternative.
No.
Who has decided that?
Him.
He.
Yes.
He has decided that. And he's linked it to salvation.
Yeah. It's scary.
Don't get all worked up. Just relax.
No, yeah. it's bad if you think about this.
If you think about it, it's actually...
And it's not going to go away.
If we don't roll up our sleeves and immediately take care of the earth with radical personal and political choices, with an economic green turn by directing technological developments in this direction, sooner or later our common home will have thrown us out the window, stated Francis. We cannot waste any more time. Reminds me of that frog.
That greenie.
That greenie, you might just be ready to swallow you.
Right? Isn't that interesting how we saw that climate scientist predicting everything, and now you've got the Pope and Kerry and all of this religion coming into this as well now. And where is it heading?
But what are we interested in again?
Yes. Where are
we heading? Where's it heading? What's the agenda, right? So here is Desert News from March 2021, another way to go green. Many organizations that operate daily are setting goals to be more socially responsible by going green and reducing their carbon footprint. What if there was an easier and faster way to do this? What if an organization that operates every day could reduce its emissions by 14.2% off the bat? The answer, close operations for one day a week and encourage employees to take the day off. Now let's just talk about carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide cycle is a natural cycle in the world. And any excess carbon dioxide will be absorbed in the carbon dioxide sink, which is basically the ocean to a great extent. And most of the world consists of ocean. So we have a vast carbon dioxide sink.
Mm-hmm.
And carbon dioxide that I breathe out is the very food of the plant world. That is in turn going to give me the oxygen that I need. So these are cycles that have been built in by a very wise architect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God himself built these cycles into nature. So who is the recipient of the carbon dioxide that I produce?
The plants.
The plant. What would be the most logical way to solve an excess of carbon dioxide?
Plant more trees, more plants.
Plant trees, correct. Of course, it isn't anything new. In addition to the Sabbath days, the Jews have another observance called Shemitah, where they let the land rest for a year, which will start this coming September. While there are different reasons why this practice was introduced long ago, the principles can be applied for our benefit today. Companies will be concerned about losing all the business that comes by staying open on Sundays, but what is the price they are willing to pay to help protect the environment? So is there an agenda?
Yes. Is there a solution?
And have they again mixed the Sabbath day up with the Sunday?
Yes.
They always do that, right? It's like an evolutionist. He keeps on singing the same tune. even though it's basically flawed, right? Mm-hmm. So let's look at, again, I know we've done this in the last one as well, but we've got to get the point across that there is an agenda. Mm. Sunday should be made rest with family. So the issue of rest for the earth, rest for humanity becomes very important. But the fact that it was set aside for holy use, for communion with God, has been switched to communion with nature and communion with the family alone and with the sporting world. So Kuala Lumpur, Women, Family and Community Development Deputy Minister proposed that Sunday be made a rest with family day. So just another example. In Serbia, trade unions urge ban on working on Sundays. Now, when you go into the history of trade unions, Martin, where did they originate?
Isn't it also the papacy?
In the Vatican. Mm. It seems as if all roads lead to Rome.
You know what? When I became an Adventist, I couldn't believe my eyes when I started seeing this trend. Uh-huh. Everything for the past 6 years that I've studied goes back to Rome.
Everything goes back to Rome. So trade unions are going to be involved because they are going to be the driving force to make sure that Sunday is implemented. Can they become very radical?
Mm-hmm.
Have we experience in our own country of how radical they can become?
Yeah.
The representatives of the Ministry of Economy have told us that if the surveys conducted indicate that retailers are strongly opposed to our idea, then other options will have to be considered. For example, a ban on working on Sundays in the first or last week of the month, which would be the first step to accept a ban on working every Sunday afterwards, so Savick said, right? The union won't give up on this idea. We wouldn't be happy if the ban is only applicable to one or two Sundays a month, but also there's still no reason to reject it, Savick said. Well, he is the representative of this trade union. All right, so the trade unions are going to enforce it. Now, some countries like Croatia already introduced the once-a-month issue.
Yes.
Then it was to become twice a month, and eventually it should be every single Sunday. So the countries have been incrementally introducing it slowly.
And it's worldwide.
Worldwide.
We've gone from the Philippines or to Kuala Lumpur to Serbia, Croatia. If you go and watch the previous episodes, you'll find a trend that
goes all the way.
There's almost not a country that's not showing this yet.
Now, what does the Spirit of Prophecy have to say? And the trade unions will be one of the agencies that will bring upon this earth a time of trouble such as not been seen since the world began. The trade unions are going to be part and parcel of end time events. Mm. One of the means, not the only one.
But one of it.
God has revealed what is to take place in the last days, that his people may be prepared to stand against the tempest of opposition and wrath. Those who have been warned of the events before them are not to sit in calm expectation of the coming storm, comforting themselves that the Lord will shelter his faithful ones in the day of trouble. You know, Martin, there are so many people, even within our own ranks, that say, why are you always talking about these things? Mm. Why are you warning? Just relax. God will take care of it. No, here's a solemn warning.
Correct.
Don't sit on your lees and think that you can get by without saying anything.
Mm.
Or considering the matter in terms of your own actions. We are to be as men waiting for their Lord, not in idle expectancy, but in earnest work, with unwavering faith. Now, what is that work? Warning people?
Yeah. Yeah, sounding the alarm.
Sounding the alarm. It is no time now to allow our minds to be engrossed with things of minor importance while men are sleeping. This is the backdoor experience, right? Mm-hmm. Satan is actively arranging matters so that the Lord's people may not have mercy or justice. Are God's people being maligned at the moment? Are they called cults?
Yes.
Conspiracy theorists? And are there people in our own ranks mm-hmm. that give these labels?
Yes, extremist, fundamentalist.
That are actually preaching these things?
Correct.
I would say that these people should read what it says here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So while men are sleeping, Satan is actively arranging matters so that the Lord's people may not have mercy or justice. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue, and many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whether the undercurrent is tending. Mm. They're looking at the science.
Looking at the science, joining in ecumenism.
And joining trade unions, mm. thinking that they're doing a good thing. Its professions are mild and apparently Christian when it comes from the religious side. Mm-hmm. But when it shall speak, it will reveal the spirit of the dragon. That's the agenda.
That last sentence that you read makes me think of the article that you read of the Pope.
Exactly. Sneaking it in there mm-hmm. and pretending that this is to save humanity. Yeah.
For your salvation.
When it will lead to perdition. Here's an article regarding the Philippines. And again, here they're saying that the COVID-19, just like the Pope, was now a perfect situation to bring about some changes. And what are they talking about? Closing on Sundays.
Yes, didn't we? And I'm sure you can go and watch of our earliest episodes. We said they will use the lockdown strategies and all of this to eventually come to Sunday lockdowns.
Correct.
And they're going to show back to it and say, but it worked for COVID. So
we made that prediction. We haven't changed our tune. And here we can see that it's
people
coming
are starting
to fruition.
To call for this.
Perhaps the government should rethink and reimpose the blue Sunday laws. So he talks about his youth and what it was like, and we should go back. The only difference is that this is now on a universal scale.
Yes. All different countries.
And this one is new. This is Turkey. So now you have an Islamic country. And this is very interesting because people say, yeah, well, what is the Islamic world going to do? Mm. They're going to climb on the bandwagon.
Exactly.
Because remember we said it had to be synchronized free time. That means everybody must keep the same day. The Sunday debate in Turkish retail industry has reignited as tradespeople reiterated calls for shopping malls and grocery store chains to remain closed on the last day of the week. Again, they're confused, but Babylon stands for confusion.
Correct.
It's not the last day of the week, it's the first day of the week. So, Turkish tradesman and craftsman TESK chairperson so-and-so recently said that they want arrangements to be made to protect tradespeople in the new draft law. So, Islamic countries are on board?
Yep.
They're on board. So, Martin, this one here from Salon, March 2021, is a very, very interesting article. Because now they're going to take everything that has maligned as malicious in the world mm-hmm. will be linked to a particular religious stream so that you can pull the plug on them.
Yep.
And that's what we just read in that statement in the spirit of prophecy, that matters will be put in a certain light so that God's people will be maligned and persecuted.
Yes.
Right? Let's have a look. They start off with QAnon. It's their favorite little buzzword at the moment. It's also much more than a mere conspiracy theory. It is a cult that has destroyed families and relationships. It is a con that lures in the weak-minded and the vulnerable. Now, Martin, what could we link that to? Could we link this dastardly organization or thinking pattern to a religious pattern?
Yes. And it's also interesting that just as we had scientists up until now we've got religion expert writing this.
So here we have a religious expert. We have so many experts in the world, right? Mm. So now let's see who he links it to. QAnon also has elements of religion. Adrian LaFrance writes at The Atlantic, the Seventh-day Adventists and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are thriving religious movements indigenous to America. Do not be surprised if QAnon becomes another. It already has more adherents by far than either of these two denominations had in the first decades of their existence. Now, why mention those two? Why, is it just grabbing them out of a hat, or is there an agenda?
That's an agenda. There's definitely a plan. Because like we saw in the previous ones, we also actually referred to this specific article that LaFrance wrote.
Yeah, we referred to that last
but
time.
But this guy now, this expert, is showing that and bringing all sorts of things back to the conspiracy side of QAnon, but pulling the religion of the Seventh-day Adventist in there.
Correct. But one thing that's very interesting here to me, if you take these two religious bodies that they have highlighted here, the Seventh-day Adventists and then the Mormons. The Mormons are universal to an extent, but they are basically concentrated in one state in the United States of America, right? Utah. That's where they have their base. So they are very local with some universal ramifications. What about the Seventh-day Adventists?
Universal.
They're universal. They're in every nation. So when legislation, Sunday legislation, is introduced, will it affect the Mormons? Mm. No.
No, because they keep Sunday.
In any case, will it affect the Seventh-day Adventists?
Yes.
Only regionally or universally?
Universally.
This is the issue. Mm. That's why the remnant has to be in every tribe and nation and people. Because it has to be a universal body,
yes,
right? And the message of the Seventh-day Adventists is a universal message, saying with a loud voice to every nation, tribe, and people, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And then follows the three angels' messages. So who's the real enemy in the eyes of the powers that be?
They that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus.
Correct, because if they have the testimony of Jesus, then they believe the Bible.
Correct.
And if they believe the Bible, then they are at loggerheads with science, falsely so-called. Not with science, but with science,
falsely
so-called. Here's an article in Newsweek. Global March 20 anti-vaccine protests promoted by QAnon-linked groups. So now they're bringing in the vaccination issue.
Everything. If anybody is now having a demonstration around the world anti-something or against something, they were going to be linked to QAnon.
And that QAnon groups will be compared to?
The Seventh-day Adventists.
The Seventh-day Adventists.
They're dragging all of... So the links are now out there.
So we have an octopus out there?
Yes.
And he has all these tentacles, and he's taking all of the issues, and eventually everything that's bad and evil in the world will be linked to the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay. So the worldwide Rally for Freedom and Democracy events on March 20 are being widely promoted online with rallies against coronavirus restrictions and the tyranny of the vaccine implementation taking place in countries such as the US, Australia, Canada, Japan, Germany. A channel on encrypted messaging service app Telegram promoting the anti-vaccine events across the world currently has more than 35,000 subscribers. And this is going to be linked to QAnon.
Yeah, they even mentioned there that while it's not specifically QAnon that's organizing this, there's enough of their supporters that support this, so now it's a QAnon thing.
So if there is one voice, then that's good enough for them.
They can just as well now say, because they are organizing these rallies, the Seventh-day Adventists also support this.
So if there were a Seventh-day Adventist among them, amongst the 35,000, then it would be a Seventh-day Adventist rally, right?
That's how the news is going to portray everything.
That's how they're going to do it. It's very clever. So let's sum this up. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time, referring to the last events on this earth, shall Michael stand up. Now, we need to still talk a lot about Michael, right? Mm-hmm. The name actually means he who is what God is. The great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now this time of trouble, Martin, will be when the plagues fall upon this earth. There will come a time of trouble such as never was. And mankind will have brought it upon itself by making void God's law and implementing human inventions. And the religious world, led by the papacy, is the driving force behind it.
Yes.
But the promise is, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Which book will that be?
The book of life.
That'll be the book of life. So if we can sum this up, seed time and harvest will continue until the end. People will be living as they did in the days of Noah, marrying and giving into marriage. Life will continue. It will be hard and it'll get harder. It's called the little time of trouble, which I believe we are in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will culminate in a time of trouble such as never was. And I believe that that is at the door, even at the door. When you see, standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then, I believe I can see the abomination of desolation standing all around the holy place, preparing for a final attack. And may God be with us when that day arrives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are seeing the fulfillment of prophecy before our eyes. Silently working in darkness, the enemy is planning his strategy. But he's planning it, Lord, in such a way that even the elect want to climb onto the bandwagon and even go further, assist him in his activities. Preserve us from his delusions and help us to walk in the light is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.